because and I'm kind of reading a bit about the logic around the rondo thing in this book, and it's kind of saying, geez, I kind of thought that myself.
Seriously
So
detailed stuff though when you get into
yeah,
it. It
but
can
if you
be.
understand
The dynamics of it is.
in the book, the Barcelona Way, they talk about the reason for it, repetition. They like, so we actually, I've unconsciously said this is important, we're going to do it every day, right? Every day. So straight away I'm providing a context of why they should be practicing home, because you're going to start with this. Like, Jesus
Exactly.
Christ, right? So a bit of shame, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's the wrong word, and then in it they provide a kind of an insight into, well, it gives the weaker by something to work towards, that I want to get to that next group where the better hurlers are and everything else. And that's an interesting place too. So are we challenging and assisting and creating an understanding of learning and improvement and mistakes, and giving that logic to the child, boy, youth, girl, whatever, and then they, within that environment, we get the best out of them. And it might mean that they're not the best hurler in the world, or they're not the best footballer in the world, but it might mean that they enjoy it. And
So and that's actually going to bring us nicely onto the next one. So there's two things that have resonated with me straight away with there. First of all, is the concept of contribution. And I think that's one of the biggest things is that any of the children that we would deal with, any of the adults, even to an extent, especially if they have a significant love of the game, which is like very likely they do, they want to feel like they can contribute. Even if they may not be the most skillful player, they recognize that they may not be the most the fastest or whatever it is, or the best reader of the game, whatever, but they can still contribute. So if you're the nippy corner forward, you're going to nip in with a couple of points, which might be very vital for different things, but it's not even a case of that. It's more that's going to fuel the mentality to keep that energy level going, keep the interest level going. If you feel like you can contribute, and you might speak a little bit about the concept of effort and the real value of judging effort first, if we could.
So like, if you look at values, right? So in the book we talk, that's the V in the model, values. So I simplify everything because I'm a very simple man, and I have this simple one called REF, which is respect, effort, and fun. So within the environment, more or less, and this doesn't always happen, but we're striving for it, is respect. So everyone needs to be respected within it. Now, I'm no saint or no anything, so I'm not claiming to have this one nailed, but we're trying to work towards it. So for respect, we need, an appreciation of what's acceptable and what's unacceptable, and how we can gain respect. So that's the first one, respect, but effort is the second one. Respect, effort, and fun, REF, respect, effort. So, who can ask more of a man than giving all within his span? Giving all, it seems to me, is not so far from victory. That's a poem, The Road Ahead of the Road Behind, which I heard John Wooden talking about. So my boys probably know that. So, because I say it a lot, and repetition and, consistency and all that. And if you do that within the environment, well, you will gain respect. And I think the, and I'm probably working on it a bit myself with the management team, how we can all contribute and add our skill sets, and that takes a bit of time. But I suppose the team environment, adding value is a concept that, it's nothing unique to me, but is everybody adding value to this environment? And that can be added in a number of ways. You know what I mean? And that's the optimal. Can we get to a place where everybody is doing something or has a part? Now, have I ever been there? I'm probably getting there with this little team we're working on at the minute, somewhere probably as close I've ever been, but an awareness of where it is or what it looks like,
Makes a big difference at
a vision for
least.
the team. So we talk, and the vision for the team, which is the second V point, whatever, is, for me, it's united, strong, and adaptable. So we want the team to be united. And a phrase I think I came across it in Jack O'Connor's book was ferocious togetherness, and that was a phrase I the Kerry, former Kerry manager, I think they coined that phrase for a year. And a place where everybody is kind of respected because they're adding something to it, and it can be very different. It can be, for some lads, it can, I think Wooden had the famous one, right, about the car. So what a, and I explained this to the boys, like, some of us are the wheels, some of us are the engine, some of us are the bolts and the wheels, Some of us are the wing mirror, and I'm obviously the driver. You know, and I didn't make that one up. That was John Wooden's.
Exactly, yeah.
And if we can provide them with all that, well, I can, you know. And I think that if we get to a place of honesty in the group, and I think a lot of that, to run an efficient group, a lot of that can't be done by just talk all the time.
No.
We need tools. So the tool might be a questionnaire at the beginning of the year. Do how confident are you to play the game, how whatever. And I have, that's part of the connection thing. We do use a little questionnaire, and you find they tell you the truth. And are you ready to play at this level? And they might say no. And well, if that's their truth and we can deal with it, man to man, whatever, face to face, well, then we can say, do you love being part of the group? Yeah, I do. So that's one of the questions I'd have always in a questionnaire. And then if you love the place, well, that's great. Will we get all of them all the time? Probably not. Can we be all things to all people? Definitely not. And an acceptance of, and I'm probably, for my own health and coaching, I'm probably awful hard myself, but yet that's probably a strength and a weakness. So again, how did I arrive at this? There's a place for them all. There's jobs, there's roles, there's little things. Can you be the best in the world at bringing on water? And it's not a diff it's not a, it's not a, that's maybe that's a flippant statement,
No,
but
but it drives.
is the boy that's taking the water after you going to say thanks?
Exactly.
And I think we probably are getting somewhere near to that. And if that's that, then that's a value, because boy, we had you had Mike Day on the thing, and Mike has talked to my lads and he talked about water, and within 2 days later, we were rolling for water everywhere, and then everyone is panicking. There's no water. There's no water. And now we need designated water boys, and
Absolutely.
they might be a bit younger, and they're adding to it, and then they have an aspiration to get better, and it's like the boot room boy in
Absolutely,
soccer.
mate.
It's
Absolutely.
something small or something big. Coaching is a process, I suppose they say sometimes, of kind of just letting go. And I was. Actually, last night I was talking to a very a coach that would be very well respected in and I said I know when it's good because I feel kind of vulnerable. I feel, Jesus Christ, these boys are way ahead of me. And he goes,
You're in the
yeah,
right spot.
I get that. So it's like you're turning the flipping whoever whatever role fellas in the hurley carries in, Jesus, this is no, and you're like, Jesus Christ, so
Exactly.
yeah, so. When you get to that place where you feel a bit, geez, how will I stay ahead of these lads? Well, that's a pretty good place.
It's not a bad spot,
Yeah,
exactly.
yeah,
So the and this is gonna kind of, I suppose, bring it a little bit, not a huge different tangent, but a small little bit of a different tangent. Looking at the concept of praise, and I suppose then the balance of the so the concept of praise and the balance of, I suppose, trying to both build good consistency within your language to the players, but then also not overdoing the praise element of it, and not trying to force that comfort level, I suppose. And do you have any kind of thoughts on how to build that confidence in the player, but without going heavy on the praise machine, so to speak?
The E of the Carver framework is endorsement. So I needed an E because CARVER. So E was basically the language, the endorsement of the acts and everything. So there's a couple of elements to that, right? We see the world as we are, if I choose to see a lot of bad things. I think there's a phrase I use at school, where two men looked out a prison window, one man saw the stars, another saw a puddle of whatever. So I think, and I go back to the building the coaching world, if you purposely build the coaching world, your perspective will be a lot different than someone who's a bit hit and miss and haphazard. So your ability to praise well is layered or built upon a foundation of knowing what you want to stand for, what it looks like, what's acceptable, what's unacceptable, how to design sessions, what mistakes are. So you can't really praise well unless you have a good firm grounding. So then we talk about praise. So the mindset, or Again, Carol Dweck's work on how we communicate praise around effort and stuff like that is very influential there. So how we communicate. So the way I've explained it is there's a thing in your brain, which I am not a brain surgeon yet, joke, called the reticular activating system. And how I understand that to be is, and I give the example in the book, and there's loads of examples. I built my house. I lived in Claregalway all my life. I built my house at 30 years old, and that was grand. I started noticing loads of houses around the area and everywhere I went. And then I was building the wall. For 31 years, I hadn't seen a wall in Claregalway, never. Next thing, I'm building a wall and I'm crashing the car looking at walls. So the reticular activating system in your brain, I understand, is a filter to bring forward what you believe is important. It's like if you're buying new curtains for the house, everywhere you go, you see their curtains. Where'd you get them curtains? And geez, you know what I mean? Or the car you buy or whatever. So I believe if you purposely build the world and are fairly tuned into what's important to you, I think you'll notice a lot more. And I think if you notice a lot more and you endorse it as you see it, well, your narrative is positive, but it's specific. So it's specificity in praise. Excellent. Good manners. Well done. Lovely. Pick up the water bottle. Excellent. Love that. Shortest grip, love that. Change the feet, love that. Well done. Shake hands, goodbye, nice. So we're noticing the good things that's happening around us, and by doing that, we're praising it, which we need to be praised. It's a need of the human, but we're doing it in a specific way that's indirectly coaching. And it's a simple thing in school in the morning, right? If we go, all right, lads, everybody down. Oh, come on, stop talking. You're talking down there, and oh, geez, you turn around. That's not listening, and we go down what I call the funnel of negativity. Where if I sit down, I go, excellent. There's 29 of them roaring, and there's one of them sitting down. I go, oh, well done, Johnny. Thank you. Next boy goes down. Excellent. Lovely, Mayor. Lovely. Thank you. Oh, you're smiling. Excellent. Wow. Oh, he's sitting up straight. And I notice all these few little things, and it's not as easy as I'm explaining it to be.
Of
But
course.
sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is.
Sometimes it is because we have a human need to be noticed and everything. So if we can self-master to a certain degree and understand what's important and always maybe accept the same thing and praise the same thing and reject the other thing. So it's about praising the process. So we don't necessarily say, oh, you're a brilliant boy, even though we do. We don't beat ourselves up by saying, we say, ah, you're a great lad, we do. But if we look at the, we don't say, oh, great goal. If we say the pass before the goal, the way he looked up was just exceptional. Look at the way he was on his left side and he could open up on to pass off his right. Wow. Look at that adaptability there. Because adaptability is a phrase I use with a player. An ability, the options concept, you can do the right thing in the right moment at the right time. So if we can notice in things, or even the trying of doing them, he committed the shot, he missed it. He missed it. He committed to it from 50 yards, but these boys in 10 years' time, we're going to need him scoring from 90 yards. So if he's not missing today, he's not going to score tomorrow. So just knowing that, and then because I think it brings a logical consistency to the environment, and a praise, and a kind of an indirect coaching style. And there's different numbers of positive to negative that people use. Maureen Gaffney wrote the book Flourishing. I think she said we need 5 to 1, and there's other people say more and more or whatever. But I think there's definitely, as much as you can, don't go down the funnel of negativity. And as much as you can, be specific in your praise because they know it's real. And that can be hard sometimes to see what's really good. And that's the coaching eye, And then at the end of it all, it's no harm a bit of directness. No. So we don't want to be all everything is brilliant. There needs to be a small bit of,
I think that can be, that's an interesting one though, and I suppose with our own experiences of coaching, and for me the coach is like compared to our family members or our buddies or whatever it is, or our teachers as an example there, there's a bit of a different, we have a different influence as coaches, I think, on the play, on people in general. Because we're looked on sometimes as this kind of a little bit of an airy fairy, like this man's a coach, like, my friend, and you're like, well, you have to get a serious job at some stage, and I'm like, yeah, I know exactly, like, but and I get paid to do what I actually love, and I've no doubt you did the same, but we still have to find ways, interesting ways of making sure that that we can keep them hooked in, keep them interested. But I think, like you mentioned there, the language can be a hugely important part Because they, not like even the likes of committed to the past or these
The cues, yeah, the triggers,
just
yeah.
the different interesting cues, but it's even that more I suppose for a lot of children they're not may not be used to that quality of language. And if you can bring in, as a coach, you can bring in these interesting kind of words to their vocabulary, into their general world. Like, because like you mentioned there, it's highly likely that any of the younger players or the older players or whatever it is, their family and their parents and their friends and whatever it is are giving them the normal, oh, you're a great lad, Johnny, such and such Mary, you're fantastic. Whereas we would have to really benefit the player, we can go a little step further and we have that air cover nearly to go, do you know what? I'm actually going to speak like this because I'm your coach and we have to go into the detail about it. And you're going to have a different resonance to the detail that we would give. Because if we just kept saying, you're a great lad, you're a great lad, you're a great girl, like, what are we giving you that's of any value to actually utilize? If we go committed to it in your head, if that we use that again, you have a bit of a resonance for what committed means or head position or fast feet or whatever it is. But I think that can be a nice change of tempo for their heads in general and their energy levels. Because like that, if we do switch them back and go, oi, look, hang on a second, then they're happy to just go back because they're like, well, I'm in an interesting learning environment potentially, rather than just being constantly, you're going to be fantastic, you're going to be fantastic. Or the opposite end, they might be like, well, look, geez, you're actually quite poor at this, and do you know what, you're freaking no good at this, and da da da. And I think that's what can happen a lot of the time is if there is a, not necessarily a laziness in coaching, but if there's just that trainer mentality, it can go back to that quite linear, black and white, like, look, this person's good, this person's not great. Oh, all right, sound. But there is an innate value no matter what in, okay, well, look, you went at that ball quite fast, which is fantastic, but you missed it there, sound. We're going to bring the hurl down a little better, or we're going to change the body position. But keep that intensity. Keep that. That's fantastic. Like, I think there's a lot of value to how we can utilize our language
So, and a good tool for that is
correctly.
something in teaching, a phrase we use is WILF, what I'm looking for. So when I'm designing a session, my session design will always have in it, in each section, what I'm looking for. And they know what I'm looking for. And when I see it, then I go, there it is. So that is, you know, again, I'm always trying to simplify things down to how can we get this consistent? How can we keep the most important thing, the most important thing? And for coaches, it's them tools, tricks, things they need to be maybe not mastered, but definitely got on top of. So we can always accept the same thing and reject the same thing, you know. And that's pure coaching. That's specific feedback to get me better, which is what they want. So we're providing, you know, even principles of play when I talk about principles of teamwork. Principles of support, principles of possession, principles of space. Like I talk to this to adults, and then sometimes because coach adults, and they're like, "Geez, wow, that makes a lot of sense." And they're going, "You're going, yeah, this game need they need to have some shared mental model, if that's not a fancy word of what a game, how we play together." So the coach's job, and clarity is a word we keep coming back to, is to provide a fair bit of clarity. What does good look like? What does not so good look like? What's exceptional? What's acceptable? And that's why this coaching world we talk about, or whatever, is a process of learning and improvement. And when I hear people saying, "He knows it all," or "He thinks he knows it all," or "She thinks they know it all," I go, "Jesus, wow, how far wrong could this person be?" You know what I mean? How far wrong could they be? So if you want a coach or whatever, you know, you need to be pretty good at learning. And I don't think you can coach if you're not, because you don't understand, appreciate learning and whatever. Is that not to say you won't win? Yeah, you will win. You will win. You'll win, you know, you might even win an All-Ireland, you know, because there's so much more, you know, winning. And we're looking at sustained excellence. Like that's what we're looking at. Where, you know, there's, if you win X in a row or X out of five, you know, that's a sustained excellence. Or if you bring through three teams like Cody or whoever, you know, that's real excellence, as opposed to, well, they won this and, you
It
know,
went bye-bye,
that could have
essentially,
came in
like,
the
yeah.
water, that could have been chance, it could be genetics, it can be so many things, it can be,
Class of 92, like, you know what I mean? It's just that little bit of a
But he then he reinvented team after team, so therefore there was definitely something in the environment.
And it's exactly. I think that's one of the interesting things, and we'll kind of leave it soon enough. But I know you have to head away and stuff. But the I think that can be an interesting one, and this would be, I suppose, ideal for coaches who might be struggling a little bit with their own methodology and their own coaching world. No different than myself, and you've fairly figured out. I'm still in the process. Spoken like a true coach. But the could you give? Do you see any real areas that, and speaking to a lot of coaches, that we're struggling with the most of all of those kind of pieces of the Carver framework? Is it the research? Is it the awareness? Is it the connection?
I think the connection, yes.
That we have to build from that point,
I really do. Because, you know, every day, you know, it's a decision, you know, to connect with every child you teach or person you coach. We go through so many interactions in the day that we cannot be wow to everybody. Mm. You know, that is, you know, I can't enough. I don't know about you.
It's difficult.
So, but yet at the same time, if we're to be true or half true or honest with our profession of coaching, teaching, learning, whatever, well, we have to make a bit more of an effort there.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the first thing, you know. And I believe that connection, because we're all humans. Mm-hmm. We like some people more than we like others. You know what I mean? That is just normal. And that's not, well, maybe for some people, they love everybody. I don't know. But for me, you know, I'm definitely drawn to some people as opposed to drawn to others.
Big.
That's just humanity. Mm-hmm. So we need to take a step further as a coach, or learner, or leader to integrate them into our world and to connect with them. And as an adult, our coach, our leader, that is our responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I think being aware of that is a brilliant thing, because it's almost like a decision, right? These boys are over here, they're brilliant at this. I'm going to go over here and chat them. Or these boys over here are quiet and shy, and maybe it won't be the most interesting conversation I've ever had, but I'm going to go over there and I'm going to do this with them, you know? And I think that will solve an awful lot, that connection. That socialization. So if there was, I was asked last night, I was in a place and I was asked, you know, what was the most important element? And I just said, connection. Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a word that's been used a lot at the minute.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing. You know, no one coins a phrase really around words or anything. No one owns them. But it's been used a lot by people that are probably using it because they know it's a buzzword or whatever. But all I can say from my experience, of being kind of aware of its importance, that I really feel it's so simple, but yet it's not easy, because you have to get at it every day. So you have to, the fella that walk in and not say hello to you, or not say thanks, just, you know, because it's probably too shy, you have to just try and take a step towards them. How walk upside them, you know, get that little joke, get that little interconnection, and then build upon it and get to know something, because then when they get there with you, well, then they can contribute at a bit of a level. And I think maybe to give you a phrase at the end, the relationship game is the first game we kind of need to win with youth and children. I would imagine adults as well, even though I can't really prove that one. But I think for long-term sustained excellence, I think it has to be that long-term sustained. It's not to say it can't be done another way. It can, but I think that is the most important thing. Because if we want to stretch them, which is our job, like really challenge them and make them better, I think if you don't have that connection built, it's going to cause resentment. You know, at least if they know I'm coming from this place of, we're kind of buddies, you know, we're in it together.
Yeah.
Long live the Reds. That's my team.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Come on, I want to be here with you. Jesus Christ, I'm going to be in that stand in 10 years' time. Jeez, you better be good.
Yeah.
You know, if we have that bit of warmth, well, then, you know, we can overcome a lot of hows or, you know, whatever.
I think that's interesting that they mentioned that now, because even like the way you would say the simple little framework of, like, look, you say thanks, you say hello to everybody, you might shake hands with such and such, or you have the same methodology or the same approach to each day like that. It's that decision to set up a particular framework for the success of the group. So it's just it's making sure that you're always okay with building that foundation and just reinforcing that foundation. And it's just once you get that, then no matter what, they have the confidence that, like, well, okay, I'm coming into this particular environment, and this is normalized
I
for
know what to
me,
expect, yeah.
and I can appreciate, and it's not anyway negative. Like, they're straight away, because they might be coming from that fund of negativity and they might already be down it, but if you can pull them out a little bit here and there, when you see them, like, they might have, I suppose, in my own context, like, I'll see the people that come to the gym that I work at, they'll come at different times of the day. So it'll be 6:15 in the morning, zombies, the whole lot, may not have slept, kids, madness, they're rushing to work. They've got all this other stuff. We never are conscious of, well, you have to try and be cognizant of it, but you're rarely cognizant massively because you're focused on the activity at the time. The 12 o'clock crowd are a different ball game, coming in, having the crack, ladies who lunch, just a bit of chill out, like, coming from work, might not be the most stimulated in their jobs. So they have a different zone of attention. And the evening crowd come in and they're full of beans and the whole lot, and they're just like serious operators. And then the 8 o'clock are the other end of the zombies and the whole lot. They're literally switching off. So I look at each of the sessions and I'm like, right, where's the general percentage of the crowd at the minute? And I'm like, right, this is like everyone's about 70%-ish. And I can see in your eyes, I can during the warm-up, I can spot it. The way you speak to me, I can spot it, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna adjust. I'm gonna force it, fine, but I'm gonna force it in a different way, like the learning curve, I suppose, or at least in try and adjust my approach to it within the context of it. I think that can be interesting though, because when you're dealing with younger people, they'll buy in so quickly to that if you give them that level of confidence, because they will run with it. It depends on an adult team or something like that, or an adult group. They're a little bit more like a little more apprehensive, but like the odd time I'll work with a teens group, one of the other coaches in the gym, and she does fantastic work with teens, and I'll try and be jovial and have a bit of crack, and but I think a lot of the time, whenever I'm covering for her, they look at me, these are 14, 15 year olds, they look at me as in like, what the hell's your man on about? Like, he's ahead of the ball there, like, and they're just quiet and very reserved and the whole lot. And then I'll go a different direction, and so they're full of beans, wired like. So it's really interesting. I think that once you kind of get that consistent environment in place and that nice relaxed air cover, but also in a strong sense of, okay, we're here to get some stuff done, guys. We can get some business done. It makes a huge, huge difference, I think.
For me, in what you said there's probably two things that I would pick up on. The first thing is I don't know, can you say you cover a group of teens. I don't know, can you coach if you don't know them? So, and that's nearly proven, that nearly proves it. I haven't, but a lot of the time I've stopped doing one-off sessions in front of people because I don't believe it can be coaching. Why would I do it in front of a group? Maybe I'll go back to it, I don't know. But that's a big thing. So, and it kind of proves it there,
Yeah,
what you
no, it's
said
very
to me.
difficult, like, yeah,
Yeah.
very
And then
difficult.
the next thing then is the connection thing. I think that again, I like quotes and everything, but the secret to that is maybe I won't even say it, like is authenticity, is to be yourself. Like, and I know Hamlet, to thine own self be true. So some people try to be to contrive or to be somebody they're not in a bid to be all connection and all this, and they're all contrived high fives and we do it this way, and I don't know why am I so comfortable with we all come in, we all shake hands. Maybe it's a bit contrived. I don't know. If we can get it organically, if we can
How it works, whatever
slow,
works for you, like, exactly, whatever works for
So I
the
think
vibe.
the secret to the connection is like if you're not a comedian, don't try and be a comedian. Be yourself, because that's when people will really, over time people will really get that deeper sense of you. And I think if you try and fella would say there's no point being crazy unless you show it. So I don't know who said that, but if that's who we
Exactly,
are, that's who we are. Be
yeah.
that,
But if you're a straightforward enough, serious kind of character,
yeah,
I'll
be
go with
that.
it, like.
But just be a little bit, one more step ahead of it.
Yeah.
One more step.
Be aware that
Yeah,
that's you.
yeah. Just
You can
you
keep
can
that
be, you
nice and
can be
consistent.
yourself,
Yeah.
but you can be just a little bit bigger, not be someone different. Not because it won't stay, it won't last, it won't survive. There is no, you know, authenticity is used a lot now. There is no authenticity in it. And there's no joy in it for a
No.
coach then because you're trying to be someone else.
Yeah.
So, you know, a bit of wacky. If you're wacky, it's cool. You know, I actually enjoy that wacky side of it. So there are the two things, but that is
Nice.
that's what we're all trying to
So
achieve.
we'll finish off all now with a couple of different kind of oddish questions potentially. Now I know
Why you ask me odd questions?
So I like as you can tell, like we're in the cinema here at the house, and I have a good whack of books that I haven't read yet at all at
Oh,
all.
Jesus, I
You have a
know.
feeling now though are a bit of a machine for the books. What are you enjoying at the moment?
I don't know, I'm a machine for books. I think I was better. I think our attention spans for books are probably
Is not great.
struggling,
Not great these
struggling
days, yeah.
a lot. And
You said the
the
Barcelona
Barcelona
way.
way, yeah, the
That's
Barcelona
really
way
good.
is one I'm plodding through at the minute. I like it. A lot of stuff resonating and that. So before that, I Jesus, can I think? I read Paul Burns for More and More at the end of the day.
Oh, yes.
So I would be more a little nugget man. I'd be more a little. Geez, that phrase makes sense to me. I'm gonna use that. Podcasts hound. I do a lot of road. Drive a lot, so I'm always listening to podcasts. I'm definitely I my attention span isn't there at the minute that I can take on heavy stuff. I don't know, that just seems to be where I am. I'm probably too much in my head. But the reading is really important, you know, the reading is really, really, really important, or the podcast or whatever. But again, it has to be contextualized. There has to be a framework, there has to be a foundation. You have to build a logical world for you to tack things onto, because you know we see with coaches, you know, they see a session and they see a drill, and next thing they're doing that drill, they don't know why, and
It's not working out well,
it's nowhere. So I believe that, like, you build a world, and that's why I use the phrase a book to build a coaching world. You build that world through logic and principles and values and whatever else, and the you buy my book
It's all good.
and you help build
Plug away, lads, plug
the
away.
world, and then you add the bells and whistles, the little bits. You learn a bit about skill acquisition. There's non-linear pedagogy of skill acquisition there. There's a book. I really liked Guardiola's book, Pep Confidential, the one about his first year in Bayern. Like, it was so interesting, the coaching logic behind how we could manipulate variables to get a result. And again, does it tell me what to think? Maybe not, but it tells me to think, and maybe it teaches me how to think and how to think outside the box, if there even is a box, and little bits like that. So I think the further, like, some guys are reading books all the time and you're wondering, geez, what are you know, do you even breathe, like,
Exactly.
do you
Like,
know?
where's the context, and how much can you apply that? Like, are you going to apply the entire book straight off the bat?
But at the
Like, which
same
is a
time, would I
different
like to
book.
read more books? Yes, I would. Yes, I would. But the way, I think it's possibly shifting now, in that there's so many articles, podcasts, blogs, bits and pieces, and you know, so there's reading is pretty, like, wooden would be, you know, I'm
Huge,
always
huge
trying to
trend,
pull
yeah.
it back to wooden. You know, we do a thing in school, a thing called talk about, and where a kid picks a topic every day to talk about, or two kids pick a topic every day. You can pick anything, and one of them goes, "Ah, I'm doing a wooden teacher," and I go, "Brilliant, yeah." And sure, then she came a week later, "Ah, there's not enough on wooden," and I go, "What do you mean there's not enough on wooden?" So I'm waiting for that project to come
Did
in.
have a period where you didn't win anything. They won
Not enough on
everything.
wooden. So then I showed them the TED talk of wooden, and we hope so no one comes into the classroom. So wooden listen would be a great starting for anyone, because it's common sense, and it's principled, and it's proven, and it's basic, and it's warm, and it's coaching. So he'd be someone you'd start with anything there. Then, it can be a conversation. The learning can be, it can be a line from someone. I think having a network of fellas, girls, whoever you kind of buzz and you talk about around ideas. Again, you know, what is it? You know, these people gurus say, you know, you are the sum of the
Of
people or
the five
whatever.
people, exactly,
Listen,
yeah.
that doesn't mean we're going to throw lads out of our life.
No.
Maybe it does for some really high
The
powered
odd
people.
time,
I
yeah.
hope I'm not being pulled off anyone's phone book for at the minute. But you know, There is a lot, but for me, the clarity of the consistency of the starting point, too much outside influence. And actually, it was one thing when I was trying to really nail the book, I stopped reading because I said, I cannot be taken in anymore. I need to just nail this for myself. And what I think is, but yet there's loads of influences. I didn't invent any of this stuff. It's just whatever. And like, there's loads of like, this podcast, that Blind Boy podcast,
Oh,
they're like,
yeah.
Jesus, like you bring ideas to you. And like, I like history. I like all that stuff and the principles of, I read somewhere that the Roman army, or the Roman army was built, and the first thing they did was one-to-one combat, and they built an empire on that, and I thought, geez, that makes sense. An awful lot of my training is one-to-one, because that principle of, win your own ball is so vital for me, win your own battle. So if it was good for the Roman army, well, wow, they did okay, even though they fell when 55 something, I don't know when they fell. Probably some lad at the top, probably the coach lost his nerve, and the whole empire fell. So yeah, that's whatever way we can pull in ideas to standardize or streamline your world. Like I was doing a talk last night, and I was just looking at books, and I pulled out one from the thing, and it was a little pocketbook of W. Yeats, and it said, "Tread softly because you tread on my dreams." And I said, "Geez, I'm going to say that one tonight." So things that will, keep the most important things, the most important things in your mind, and help you along the way are really good. Again, that's end. Full stop there. That's the end of that one.
All good. Well, and I was going to ask you as well, actually, Paul, like, have you any particular favorite coaches or influences? But the people that you mentioned there, like, even on the front of the book, I'm looking at the new revised version, beautiful, by a legend, Polly Butler. This is the best tool in the world of any sport of any time ever written. This is the finest thing. I'm not gonna lie, lads, the having read it now and consumed it with good speed, and I wouldn't be the fastest reader in the world with that mind. I immediately need to go back and read it probably a second time, maybe even a third time, because I haven't taken nearly enough notes on the blasted thing. But I think it's a brilliant, brilliant book. I think, and I mentioned this to you before, I think this can apply to adults and for youth coaching as much as possible. And because, like that, it's not another book of drills. Like, we've got tons of drills. There's drills coming out of our flipping eyes. We can have all the drills you want, but if we don't have the context for it, we can't build new drills that might be more appropriate for the people that we have. So I suppose the main thing is to just try and keep ourselves as open-minded as possible. Paul, I'm gonna leave you to it now. I appreciate you coming on.
Oh yeah, I really enjoyed
It's
it.
been a pleasure, man, having you with us.
I always say when I give a talk, I normally say, well, like I don't have to be at work till 8:45 tomorrow morning or something like that, so I talk all day and night about it, and I hope that people enjoy it and
Awesome.
whatever, and reach out to me anytime you want,
Yeah, so
give
this
me
is the thing.
a
So you wouldn't be too bad online, but as you've been in the minds of writing a book for the last years, you've been kept busy. Where can people get in touch with
Yeah,
you?
like I have Twitter, it's Carver underscore coaching. I follow everyone that follows me, that's all, that's how I do it. I think it's only fair.
Okay.
There's Twitter, there's a
Where do people
bit.
get the book?
Oh, you get the book. I'm really lucky that Elvery's have it nationwide.
Nice.
It is nice,
That's
yeah.
excellent.
It is the only book in Elvery's nationwide at the
The
minute.
stuff, like.
So that was a bit of luck. So that's brilliant. I hope they hold on to it. So that's Intrasport Elvery's. The publisher is Book Hub Publishing, so you can get it at that website, bookhubpublishing.com. It's in a lot of the local books. Send me a Twitter, tweet or whatever tweet. I'll write back to you. There's a website there that the Carver Coaching Framework, but again, listen, there just isn't enough time for
You're on the ground a
there.
lot of the
Yeah,
time in the
I really
trenches.
am it. The phone is in the car when I'm coaching. It's and I'm not really. I retweet nice things about me. That's what I'm doing at the minute. So hopefully by the time this will go, there'll be another tweet and I'll retweet it. So
Brilliant stuff.
but like, I'm not going to give him a phone number here, but you can ring me.
No,
Like, you
of course,
know,
yeah.
anyone, I
I
have no
think,
problem with anyone ringing me.
yeah.
I don't want a text message with 40 questions because I haven't the
No.
discipline to sit
Yeah.
down and logically think, but I'll shoot the breeze with anyone who
Yeah,
wants to ring me
absolutely.
about anything. And
And I don't think you're an awful lot different than the likes of, I was speaking to Mike Day on one of the most recent podcasts, and he's a busy man, and he's only getting busier, and I have a feeling you're a busy man only getting busier.
I don't think I
As well,
am.
like, I don't
No,
know.
I
I
think
don't
I'm
know.
getting less busy.
Are you trying to
No,
quiet the
oh man, the
down
last 4 years, like 2018, I coined the phrase the year of endurance
bit,
because there was just so much going on. And I think there was 2 times I thought, geez, I can't do this anymore. And there was 2 natural disasters. I think that the beast from the east came, and we were, and then another thing happened. It happened in school, but school had to close a couple of days, and I was like, wow, this is a sign.
Demanding.
So I'm not as busy as I was, but like I think we have a huge capacity to go, you know. And I think in coaching, an engine is important. Like we need energy, we
We
need to
need this,
go, and people say you mind yourself and you do all this, but like there's a
You've
lot of
chosen a difficult path if that's the case.
there's a lot of gas in the tank, like, you know. And
Exactly. Just
we'll
keep it lit while
see.
we
I
can.
definitely need to streamline things a small bit more, but at the minute I kind of enjoy all the interactions and everything. So
Yeah, good stuff.
it's you know, I always say it to people, just reach out, like no matter who you are, like, or what you are, like, it is a bit of a kind of compliment if someone wants to know what you're on about or something. So if anyone is interested, you know, just ask me, and
Good
you know,
stuff.
I'd be a bit flattered maybe. I don't know what
Nah,
the right word is, you
it's all
know.
good. Well, you're doing, I think, I would say, Paul, you're doing fantastic work at the minute. I think that the book is going to be a huge help for a huge amount of people over the next number of years and for a long time to come.
There's
So
no
maybe
sell by date in it,
there's no sell by date. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Well, I really appreciate you coming on, Paul. Thanks again for joining us, and have a fantastic day, man.
Viva la revolution.
Okay, folks, so you've just been listening to episode number 46 of the Humble Coach Podcast with Paul Kilgannon. So, first of all, folks, I'd like to say a massive thank you to Paul for joining me on the show. It was an absolute pleasure to get a chance to talk coaching with him. As you can tell from the episode, folks, he is an unbelievable fountain of knowledge. And the book that he has written, The Carver Framework, Coaching Children in Sport, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the best books on coaching in the world at the moment. It's an unbelievably helpful book for coaches of all ages and activities. I think it's essential reading, and it's available in all Elvery's around the country. Lastly, folks, I would like to say a massive thank you to everybody for the support of the podcast. As always, it's been a huge, hugely fun time making interesting and hopefully helpful podcasts for you guys on all things coaching. And I appreciate all of the support that you guys have given me. If you'd like to check out any of the other episodes, you can check us out on iTunes, on Spotify, on Stitcher, and all the other places where you can check out podcasts. But also, you can find us on our home base of podbean.com. Hope you guys have a fantastic day, and I'll chat to you guys very soon.